Ah, yes, the wind that shakes the barley. And why we, why am I playing that one? Because in the studio we have Marianne Grace, and we're going to talk about crop circles and other such phenomena. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you. I am happy to be here.
Excellent. Yeah. And let's get settled in. I want to thank Miss Laura for her her show. She is being, oh my goodness, she's having some heavy work being done by Dan Lee, who is an incredible body worker. So it is still legal, whatever's happening. It's even though it's on the radio, it's all okay. That's right. Yeah, there's some. We're going to try and create some good energies in the cow studio tonight. And again, if you've got anything to call about crop circles and other phenomena, give us a call at the studio at 874-1073, area code 707, in the West County of Sonoma, and we'll see if we'll still be here at the end of the show.
Yeah. There's enough information that we could be, so.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, Marianne, you're really into, I suppose, what is the overall subject called now? Not the paranormal? Or, that's really not it.
There's so many different aspects, different directions from which you could approach it. But just the phenomenon of crop circles is... It inspires such wonder, even just by itself. The thing about it is that it's undeniable that it's happening. Right. They are actually appearing in fields, right. And they're huge. And you can go and stand in them and observe them and wonder about them. And it's not like other paranormal stuff that's very ephemeral and maybe only happens to one or two people. Mm. And this is something that huge numbers of people are gathering around, and it's kind of being cast across the internet and around the world. And here we are in, you know, West California, yeah, talking about it.
It's, right.
And being able to talk in detail about it. So it's a remarkable phenomena. You
indeed.
Know.
And now, do they occur all literally in every country in the world,
well,
or is it?
I don't know about every country, but they do happen all the way around the planet. So they happen in the United States. They happen in Canada. They happen in South America. They happen, of course, all over Europe. They happen in China. They happen in, you know, they've happened in every continent except Antarctica. And it's possible, I don't know, maybe they've happened in Antarctica, but they're just, we don't have any flyovers that have been able to let us see images of them. So, but they definitely have been in every continent.
Huh.
They've been in mostly in wheat.
Hmm.
But they also are in canola and in barley. Those are the most common ones. Canola has the unfortunate moniker of also being called rape seed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in the English landscape, which is where you see the highest density of them, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that, they're usually in either canola, wheat, barley, and then late in the season they've started appearing in the what we know as corn and what they know as maize. So,
right.
And I'm sure you know that one. So, but they've also occurred in soybeans, in potatoes, in strawberries, in sugarcane.
Strawberries,
I know. Wouldn't that be
really?
In flax, there was a beautiful one in flax this year that was in flower, this lovely circle that was in, you know, this beautiful blue flax flower. Oh, just amazing, amazing, you know, shimmering color. Sunflowers, rye, oats, sprouts, turnips. I have
no,
a list
not
here.
Turnips.
Turnips, apparently. grass. Even trees. There have been some incidents of designs appearing in trees, you know, in a forest, and also in ice. This is actually getting more common. It's especially in Canada, you know, frozen places.
Right.
It's ice circles and not just round. There was one I saw just the other day that was round with a little spur coming off of it that was very precise, like a design that you might have seen early on in the crop circles. It was, you know, just a circle with a little spur coming off of it. So odd, very odd. And Very odd. It's so, such an odd phenomenon.
So different phenomena. It's not just the one crop then.
No, okay, it's interesting. Not. It's shrouded in mystery and shrouded in secrecy. I mean, they're also, we know for sure. I mean, the big question is, okay, who's doing them?
Right.
You know, everybody wants to know, well, how are they being done and who's doing them, you know?
The mechanistic answer.
Right. Yeah. And of course, we do for sure know that humans are doing some of them. We know this certainly, that some of them are hoaxed. Some of them are hoaxed for commercial purposes. And those, you know, of course, we know who does them and why.
Okay.
But then there are others that are claimed by these different groups that groups of people that say that they've done them, and probably some of them have been done by these groups, but it's completely shrouded in secrecy. There, you know, no one, almost no one, except on very rare occasions, no one takes pictures of them doing it. They do it, you know, in the dead of night. They want it to be done. They want it to look like some mystery. I've read reports that there are groups that do them, but they feel like they're being guided by some other level of intelligence.
Kind of Ouija board type.
Right,
guidance.
Which is kind of interesting that maybe they're trying to do some kind of disinformation thing, but they're also confirming something at the same time.
In the same moment, yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it's very odd. you know, like, what's up with that? And Where else should I go from here?
Well, let's go backwards. You know, obviously, you've really done a lot of research. You know about crop circles. How did you get into this whole field?
Oh, well, I have an art background, and I have a kind of a spiritual, scientific background. And voila, we get this phenomenon that's just like right up my alley. It's, I'd heard of it, in the early 90s, but I hadn't seen very much about it. And then I think it was in 96 that Colin Andrews, who was one of the early researchers, actually came to the Bay Area and he spoke at the Whole Life Expo. It was called the Whole Life Expo.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were fun. They were pretty fun. And he was one of the presenters, and I saw that he was presenting, and I thought, ooh, I want to know more about this. Yeah. And it was just a riveting presentation about the disinformation that's going on. You know, it was right at the time when the Doug and Dave, who are the infamous people, that's these two old codgers that, you know, decided one day in a pub, why don't we go out and make designs in the fields, and, you know, supposedly did them all, quote unquote, with
Doug and Dave, yeah.
Yes, all over England, you know, five of them in one night, you know, it's like,
that's a lot of Guinness.
It's a lot of Guinness, exactly. And, so, you know, even though, and the media, of course, completely sucked it up. They want the media has. Humans have this innate need to not have the wool pulled over their eyes. You know, to not be fooled. You are not going to fool me. You understand? I'm pointing my finger into your chest. You are not going to fool me.
And that's when you get fooled the most.
That's when you get fooled the most. Probably so, you know. That's probably actually true.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Doug and Dave story came out, and then that went all over the world. And people thought, oh, it's been proved to be a hoax.
Right.
And meanwhile, they're getting more and more beautiful and more complex and more numerous and more mysterious all the time. And it seemed like every single year that the researchers would think that they had gotten some kind of clue. Oh, they're trying to teach us this, or oh, we understand that these are the parameters within which the phenomenon happens. And then the next year, that would be expanded. The phenomenon would go beyond what they had thought they had learned the year before. Oh, it's a circle. Yeah. You can do circles. Oh, right. It's got lines in it. Oh, my goodness. Now what do we do with that? Okay, so we can do circles and lines. Oh, my goodness. Look, the next year, you know, suddenly there are
whole other
levels of
things,
phenomenon going on. And that's been every single year, it seems like the researchers say, This is beyond what we've ever imagined was possible, you know. It's the most spectacular year ever. And, you know, of course they say that every single year. So, and this year was
the most
right along there, you know, right on that trajectory. So.
Oh, wow. Well, when were the first crop circles noticed? Was this from ancient times, or is this something that's more recent? You know, when did that happen?
The history. I'm not an expert, but I will give you my minimal what I know. They've been going on for a really, really long time. A really long time. There are documented, even in America, there are documented cases of them in newspapers where, you know, something the farmer thought didn't know what was going on in his field, and it got reported that a circle was suddenly appeared in his field, and it was completely pristine, and it seemed like it was not human-made, not done by just simple vandals in the field.
Right.
And there are reports of, you know, the famous mowing devil. That this was from the 1600s. It was a woodcut that was in, I don't know what kind of newspaper they had in the 1600s in England. There must have been something.
A broadsheet or something.
Something where it was publicized or written in some periodical or something, where there's a woodcut of a farmer discovered, and there's a elaborate, you know, the English that is not our street English, but the English of the times,
right.
A description of the farmer having gone into the field and found a place where the crop had not been damaged, but had been laid in a very precise pattern. The crop that was next to it was still growing perfectly well. None of the crop was broken. It continued to grow. These are all signs that we currently identify as in our authentic, what we can definitely call authentic crop circle phenomenon. And so the description matched very precisely to what we know of today, and that was
okay.
And they, you know, at the time they put it up to fairies or the mowing devil, you
right.
know. So we know they've been going on for a long time. In the early around 1990 or 89, 88, something like that, Colin Andrews and Busty Taylor, I think was his cohort. They were the first people to actually really take notice of this phenomenon that was going on more widely. And they'd seen it. Colin had seen something in a field, and it looked very odd. And he went out and researched it. And he went and found the farmer and said, do you know anything about this? And the farmer said, oh, damn it, that again. You know, it's like, apparently the farmers knew about these things for years, you know, that every now and then that they would appear, that a circle, usually just a circle, occasionally two, maybe three circles. And the kids would go and play in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had no idea what to think of it, and they just kind of would let the crop grow and then harvest, and that would be it. And then it was in the early 90s, or 89 or 90, that Colin Andrews got interested in it, and they started doing research, all kinds of research about it. But there are stories in Africa where the Sangomas, the medicine men in Africa, that apparently for long time, centuries. I don't know how far this goes back. Where that formations would happen in the fields, or I don't know, maybe in the sand. I think of Africa as very desert-like.
A lot of
probably
it is now.
I don't know. I'm sure I do not have an accurate idea of what Africa really looks like, but that these formations, these circles or a form, a triangle or something would appear in the fields in Africa, and the tribes would discover these things, and they would go, and, you know, they'd get all excited, and they'd put it, they'd take out wooden stakes and markers, and they would, you know, mark it down so that they would, it would be clearly recorded until the medicine men got there, and then the Tsangomas would come, and then they would look at it and read it, and I think the idea is that those were marks or designs that were delivered from our sky brothers, our sky brothers and sisters, and the our tribal relatives of from elsewhere. So, and then the Tsangomas would come and read some kind of information from it. Sometimes they would be prophetic in some way, or tell them, give them some kind of warning or some information, So
that's interesting. Yeah.
That's been going on for a long, long, long time. So,
yeah, it's interesting. Just getting parallels, like in the Greek, the oracle.
Right.
Now, that used to be a just an occasional thing it could use. But once they, it's the matter of putting stones in the ground, concentrated and often opens the energy to be there all the time, I understand. So
that has something to do with the creation of ley lines, does it not?
Or certainly, yeah, that's a very good indication where the energy is, because a lot of stones were marked where ley lines go through.
Right, right. Energies, earth energies. And so, you know, the question of where are they coming from and why?
Right.
The big capitalized question all the way across. It's... you know, there are many, many theories. So, okay, the first one was, yes, there are men that are doing them.
There are people.
There are people. I won't say
number
it's
one,
all men.
They're all hoaxes, is number one.
That's some of
there.
Them, for sure. We do know for sure. Some of them are hoaxes.
For skeptics, you know, it's like they're all hoaxes. Yeah.
And then, but almost everyone will acknowledge that there are genuine anomalous, mysterious, unaccountable phenomena going on that almost everyone will, unless they're just are, you know, completely impossible to penetrate skeptics, you know.
And there's always that 25% we know and we're never going to be convinced of anything.
Well, what can you say? Give them a nice pat on the back and a cup of warm milk.
Right.
something like that. I don't know. I like being in mystery. It's just, the life is so much more fun with mystery.
Now, one thing always interested me, I think when I've read about it, is you know, obviously the stalks of the crops are bent.
Yes.
And that people have perceived a difference in how they've been bent in, say, like a hoax compared to, you know, what they think is the real thing.
Right, right.
Do you know much about that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that mechanism works.
Yeah,
there.
Well, how it works, that's a whole other question.
The difference,
Yeah, in fact, Jeffrey Wilson, who is the... He heads the American research branch. It's and you can look this up online if you're interested. The ICCRA.org stands for Independent Crop Circle Research Association.org, and he's the director of the independent ICCRA, and he lives in Ohio, so he's near,
near that,
that
borough we were looking at. Yeah.
This we'll probably talk about that in a bit. And he says that actually that is a relatively simple and undeniable or verifiable way of checking to see if a crop circle is authentic or not. What he recommends that if you come across a crop circle, that if you take 31, I don't know how he came to this number 31, but 31 samples of crop that's been bent both inside the formation and 31 samples some distance away from the formation, and then compare the length of the growth node. Grasses grow in spurts, and they have, they do a little spurt and then they put out a leaf, and then they do a little another spurt and they put out another leaf, and at every one of those places where it puts out a leaf, it creates a node. They call these the growth nodes, and If you look at the first growth node, the one closest to the ground, and, you know, all you need is a ruler. You can go out. Anyone can do this. And take out your little ruler and measure the growth node, the first growth node of 31 samples from within the crop formation, and compare that to the growth nodes, that first growth node of 31 samples outside. If the growth nodes inside are longer, you can feel pretty sure that you've got an authentic phenomenon going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's really a real physical manifestation.
It is an actual, very researched, very odd manifestation. If the crop is young, I can give you all the science. Do you want this?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, let's go to some music and then we'll do the science.
Okay,
how's that?
Go for it.
Okay.
Superheroes of the galaxy. So why does she wanna mess around with me? Listen to my story. It's sad, but it's true. Please don't laugh. It could happen to you.
Yes, Beautiful Zelda from Galaxy 3, the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
I have a feeling you've come up with a very good list of music here.
I have some fun with it. You know.
Yeah. Definitely, that's always good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And did I do who was before? I think, we had...
The Grain, The Wind and the Grain.
Oh, yeah, The Wind That Shakes the Barley by Alex Stone Sweet. Oh, and then we started off with Mr. Spaceman by the Birds.
Great.
So, in that vein.
Yes.
You're listening to Cows Radio, 107.3 FM. Coming to you from mysterious downtown Occidental. They're packing up the market now and going home for another wonderful week. So come next Friday and you'll really enjoy it for the rest of the month. There's music provided by cows out there. Cows Radio, not cows. They're not mooing out there. Sorry. Actual real musicians are out there playing. And, of course, talking about cows.
There they are.
Yeah. There we go. Bossy and Bessie are here in the studio in their rightful place. And, you can give us a call in the studio, 874-1073, area code 707, talking to Marianne Grace about crop circles and other phenomenon. And give us a call if you've had an experience, you've seen a crop circle or any other phenomena you'd like to share with the audience and with us, please do, 874-1073, area code 707. So, Marianne, before the break, we were talking about...
science.
Yeah, science of crop circle.
Yes.
How does it work? How can we prove that it actually is some unnatural or phenomenon we don't recognize?
Right, for all of you that need proof.
Yes.
It's reasonable, definitely reasonable. Okay, so there is a wonderful little online booklet that I can point you to that is done by Suzanne Taylor. She has a website called theconversation.org. And on it, there is a button for a little booklet that's called Why Real Crop Circles Can't Be Hoaxed. And if you go to that, I'm going to read to you. I typed this up. I thought it was such a great synopsis of why real crop circles can't be hoaxed. So the facts, here's some facts, some synopsis of facts, where, as we said, they've been on every continent except Antarctica, as far as we know. The Antarctica part, at least.
Right.
when reports exist for 298 before 1980, I think that number is actually higher than that, including 25 circles before 1940, as part of more than 2,000 formations reported to date.
Huh.
That's a lot of formations.
Wow.
However, indications are that the phenomenon is much older, even prehistoric, and that they've showed up in cave paintings.
Really?
Yes. So what looks like crop circles. So eyewitness accounts of circles being formed. You know, has anyone seen them actually happening? This is often a question you get. There are at least 25 eyewitness accounts.
Mm.
So, of course, but, you know, with an eyewitness account, one person, maybe two people, saw it together, you know. So it's always hearsay. But nonetheless, there are at least 25, and I think there are actually more than that now. So how, the big question, H-O-W, when crop circles became crop formations during the 1980s, in other words, more complex than just circles,
right.
All possibility disappeared of these complex shapes being a weather phenomenon. For a long time, people thought, oh, it's winds or some kind of plasma vortex that came down and did it, something.
Yeah. More natural.
Right. Some kind of natural phenomenon, you know, that we could.
Strange weather pattern. Yeah.
Right. That we could possibly explain.
Yeah.
So, and even then it was suspect that was actually the cause. Or delivered by any technology known to us or being made by hoaxers. So, with the complex circles, with the extremely complex and precise circles, of which there are many. So I gave you the list of what they've been in. She has that list. The largest one right now, actually, this list was created before this particular season, and she says the largest one is an area the size of 2 football fields, and there has been one. Although someone has claimed it as a hoax. It was a very, very late one. No, that's not true. It was in July. Oh, well, don't worry about the date. Marianne, don't worry about the date. But it was like 7 football fields, 7 or 8 foot.
Whoa.
Huge. Some of you have probably seen it. It's the human butterfly in Holland. So, gorgeous.
I'll have to check that out.
Really beautiful, but it has been claimed as a hoax. Personally, I don't believe it. I think it was real. I think someone claimed it.
For that size,
it's huge and gorgeous. Really, really beautiful. And then the longest one is a skinny one. They did these pictograms or what did they call them? Maybe it was the pictograms. These long strings of circles and lines and odd spurs and nested circles and arcs and lines and so on. There was a very long one that was a quarter of a mile long. That was a number of years ago. And then she has this wonderful quote. that says, this is from Suzanne Taylor. She says, I believe the acceptance of this genuine phenomenon could release human consciousness from the narrow oppositional focus in which humanity is so endangered. I also think that were we listening, wisdom and skills that are beyond us now possibly could be imparted by an intelligence faster than our own. So you see, that's really interesting to me. I like this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's explore that, an intelligence.
Faster than our own.
Yeah. How could that possibly be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're the pinnacle, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I know I'm the smartest. No, not. Oi. Oh, my God.
We're in trouble.
I fear for us now. Yeah. Anyway.
Intelligence. What form does it take for you? How do you see that intelligence?
Well, okay, so here's my own personal theory. I do have a theory. I have my own personal theory. But it's been kind of conglomerated put together from several different sources and experience and so on.
Yeah.
The Earth has an intelligence, our dear beloved Gaia has this incredible intelligence, and she is definitely under stress, and she's wanting to communicate with us. So I think that at least part of the communication is being governed by her. Then we also have this galactic positioning. This interesting thing that's happening in the solar system of our solar system is moving through the plane of the galactic. We're being bombarded by all these new light rays, basically. Mm-hmm. These particles that are coming from galactic center. That's it's like it's way more intense here. Do you think it's more intense here? Just a little.
That's why I moved to West County. It's not so intense.
No. Well, and there's also more openness to what's going on so that you can receive it without resisting it so much.
Right.
So,
Well, look at, the people who have trouble, say, with cell phone, with that sensitivity to cell phone radiation and things. Is that akin to that, just being attuned to that energy? Or,
it's possible. I don't know. I don't know. I think that there's just so much more going on. I mean, we're being bombarded with all kinds of things, man-made and galactic.
Right.
And, I think our systems are probably quite confused in general. And it's possible. Here's a theory that I love. I have thought of this one, that that there may be some intention in these precise geometric forms and seemingly meaningful designs, formations, to address this this level of chaotic imbalance that's going on in our systems, not just for humans. I think that it's also, it may be addressing the biological firma, in general. They may be coming down to help bring balance to the flora world, or the insect world, or animals, or it could be the air or the water or
some combination we don't know. Yeah,
In addition to humans.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I didn't finish my theory.
Oh, sorry. Carry on.
My own personal theory, which is that there's this intelligence in the Earth. There's an intelligence that is from the galactic plane, let's say, that is. Certainly, if the Earth is alive and intelligent, certainly the galaxy is alive and intelligent.
Yeah, we can't be that arrogant.
So there's this interweaving that's going on. And then we have these intermediaries, We have even humans as intermediaries that are, we cannot be not part of the Earth and the galaxy. And so even with the hoaxers, there's a way that I'm coming to have more at peace in myself with the hoaxers, that that they're part of this phenomenon. And that they why would they put down that particular design at this time, for instance?
What moved them to that?
Right. Yeah. And if we do have, which actually I do believe, if we do have other dimensional intelligences, be they extraterrestrial or just extra dimensional, that have been here all along but are not been so privy to our ordinary, most of us anyway, ordinary everyday waking state. That and if these intelligence have some level of technology to receive that information from either or both directions,
right,
from the Earth, from galaxy, from beyond, and have a technology to then at the right place in the right time, you know, in concert with this moment that is intelligent to put down this particular design.
Right, right.
You know, so...
Well, like those insects that make a pattern of a bee or something on a plant in South America. They form another pattern, you know, to allow the plant to be fertilized or something. It's like an incredible...
Yes, right. There's some kind of harmonic resonance going on, that everything is working appropriately.
Exactly.
In concert. Yeah, I totally believe that. That's been my working understanding of the universe, that it actually is incredibly benign, benevolent, loving us.
Yeah.
Loving us to death.
If only so we'd see. Yeah.
Possibly, loving us to death. So, there was another little piece of information in there. Oh, right. It's like, you know, the way the I Ching works, one of the theories behind the I Ching is that everything in a particular moment is necessarily characteristic of that moment. So if you throw coins or you pull sticks or something like that and you get a number, that number necessarily has to be characteristic of the moment in which you're finding it.
Right.
So much like that, you know, we have these designs coming down, however it is that they're being manifested. And it's meaningful. It is meaningful to us. So it's something to be studied.
Definitely. Well, let's have another musical break. And then, I'd like to also talk about, like, dowsing and the whole ley lines and that whole connection with that with you.
Great.
Okay. Let's... play a
What's
little
your
music.
Next let's piece see, of mysterious music.
What are we on? Oh, yeah. A slightly different thing. Tommy McCook and the Supersonics, Out of Space. Well, yes, you're back with Arnaldo, your host of Thomas Holiday Camp, here every Friday night from 7 to 9 on Cowes Radio 107.3 FM in the West, wonderful West County of Sonoma. And also you can get us on the internet tubings at www.kows.fm. And you can also download an app on your phone and also get us on your phone anywhere in the world. So isn't that wonderful? You can hear the cows mooing in Antarctica where there's never been a crop circle, you know. So, yeah, go out and enjoy lots of community radio all over the world. There's wonderful stations like us. I listen to a station in Hawaii, one in Boston, and they're just playing wonderful, you know, music and interviews everywhere. There's so much, you know, without adverts and things. So, it's out there. It's not just the commercial channels. There's plenty out there. So
and available through the wonders, the mysteries of the internet.
That's right, just like Pop Circle mysteries, you know.
That's right.
But talk about sponsors and underwriters, one of our wonderful, it's not a mystery, the French Garden Restaurant and Bistro is very, very tasty, good food. And we thank them for their support. And their bistro bar opens at 4, except for Tuesdays. And they have a happy hour until 6 p.m. and live music's on weekends with no cover charge. So why don't you give them a call, 824-2030 or FrenchGardenRestaurant.com. And also one of our very own, John Stover, one of our wonderful programmers and DJs, he has the Farmers Insurance Agency here in the West County. And since 1928, no, that's not John. He hasn't been doing it since 1928, but Farmers has. And it's been a backbone of the insurance industry. And you can contact John for home, auto, business or life insurance at 571-1210. Or meet him in Occidental Sunday afternoons after his show here on Cowes. So, yeah, we're on Cowes, and phone number in the studio is area code 707-874-1073. And I have Marianne Grace in the studio, and she's come in, and we're talking about crop circles and the like. And hope you're enjoying it. If you have a question for Marianne, or if you have had an experience you would like to impart to us, please give us a call at 707-874-1073. So, Marianne, yeah.
Experiences with the crop circles. Now, there's a really interesting subject that's, wide and... not quite sure where to begin with that. It's there's so many stories of encounters of different kind, balls of light. You know, is the one that you hear so much about. Various things. You know, synchronicities. For all the people who are still looking for more things that where they need proof. Many, many experiences of electronics failing within the crop circles, like, you know, someone's cell phone being that they got into the crop circle and the whole battery drained, or there was no reception, and then he would hold his arm, he would be standing in the crop circle, but hold his arm outside beyond the crop circle, and you know, all four bars would come up, and then he'd put his arm back in the crop circle, and he went around the whole perimeter. Whoa. You know, doing this, and outside the crop circle there was reception, inside there wasn't, or time lost, or many stories of that, or there are a lot of stories of sounds, unusual sounds that when you're being heard, trilling noises. Actually, there's some new research about that I just heard about that this is actually brand new. And I think this one is actually from Colin Andrews. I just recently read this, that he did a study recently where he had some kind of sound sensor probe that he plugged into a tree, and then he plugged into the ground, and it made a trilling noise that this was not in a crop circle, But the tree made a sound. It made a sang, and I don't know what it was. Sounded like actually. I haven't heard it, but this noise and that the same very same kind of noise is something that had been recorded and heard by many researchers in crop circles early on. So, and he sent this tape to a few other people, and that was the experiment was repeated and was verified. So there may be some information there about where the noise is coming from. Stories of people having levitation experiences, stories of you know, certainly getting levels of understanding or communication or, you know, all kinds of things. So.
Right, right. Well, excuse me. Yeah, a couple of months ago I interviewed Reg Presley of the Trogs, and he's into all that various phenomena, UFOs and things. And, yeah, he said he'd come across a crop circle and the owner of the field said, yeah, come back tonight about, you know, 5 o'clock or something. And he did. And these, flying things. We've got flies in the in the studio.
this completely manifested.
Yeah, this flock of geese that, you know, regularly went from their feeding place to their nesting place, they came across. And when they reached the crop circle, they totally started fluttering and they totally worked around it, basically.
Right.
So, interesting. Animals...
very sensitive.
Can get that, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. There have been a few unfortunate reports of that animals that have been caught in the circles when they've gone down and not surviving very well. You will see, speaking of the flies, there are... pictures of flies that have been kind of singed into the stalks, you know, that so you know that there's some kind of heat or something, something is part of that phenomenon that creates it.
Right.
Some kind of heat or they think some kind of microwave technology, maybe.
Radiation of some sort.
Some kind of radiation that may be sending down the information, spinning the crop and creating it, and at the same time heating up the liquid, the water in the stalks, causing the expansion of the nodes the expulsion cavities that are in the nodes, or you know, various things. So there's theories.
Yeah.
Many theories. This is a theoryful, highly theoryful
still to
phenomenon.
Be, indeed. Now another energy which I'd like to discuss it. I've got my own theories on this, is the interconnection with dowsing.
Yes.
Now, obviously, there's flows of energy in the earth, which a dowser, with or without a stick,
right,
can feel.
Yes.
You know, a stick, I understand, is just a...
a tool.
An accessory rather than necessary sometimes. An
amplifier for something.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not sensitive enough to do it yourself.
Darn it, yeah.
Right.
I bought the amplifier online, but it didn't work.
Right.
But, I'm wondering if you know anything about that, how dowsing links in with crop circles.
Oh, yeah.
And the connection.
Yeah, in fact, there definitely are dowsers that use their abilities to see if they can determine if one is authentic or not. And, you know, it's such a controversial subject, whether they're authentic or not. So, but you know, if they're particularly aligned on a ley line, or if they are if they have amplified energy. I mean, you can also do this with meters of various kinds, magnetometers or radiationometers, or whatever they're called. There are definitely equipment that you can take into a crop circle and see if there is amplified energy fields of various kinds, and they will show spikes in the energy, you know, within the formation or around the formation or above the formation, maybe 5 feet or something like that. It's
They're in the air, per se. Yeah.
Some people think that maybe they're they're like spheroid instead of just flat on the ground, you know, so.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's not just one, two-dimensional, rather.
Yeah.
It's actually a three-dimensional thing.
Penetrating into the earth. Or, I mean, it's very, you know, a lot of people think that if you look at the, it can look at the designs with a three-dimensional eye, that you will get a lot more out of them. And actually, a lot of the formations have that embedded in them. They just look three-dimensional. They look like they're, you know, caving into the earth,
right.
or layers upon layers, or, a couple of years ago, there were several that looked like, you know, the earth was bouncing practically. It was it was amazing. So, or, you know, these kind of wormhole ideas that were very popular a couple of years ago.
So. Okay. Wow, I haven't heard of that one.
Teaching us something for sure about the nature of the universe. So.
Well, that's it. You know, it's like some of the complicated ones always remind me of almost like the electronic boards,
right.
You know, that circuitry stuff. It's almost like
especially this
on
year.
A large scale.
Yes.
You know.
Did you happen to see this year?
No.
There were two different formations. Yeah, only two that I know of this year that had strings that were clearly writing in them. Clearly some kind of form of unknown writing that was going on. Long strings at the ends of formations, the designs. You know, one design was of swallows, which is a design that has appeared in the fields over a few years. Is this swallow formation, geometric formation that looks like swallows? It's relatively easy to draw with arcs, and at the ends of the wings, you know, were two smaller. It looked like scales almost. Like a scale, that you have two pans on the end, but the pans were also swallows, and that at the ends of the tails were these long strings of these writing. It just looks like this geometric hieroglyphs of some kind.
Right, it wasn't recognizable.
But I don't know. Maybe reflective of Egyptian somehow. I know. I'm certain that there must be. What are the scientists that decipher code and writing? I'm sure there must be people out there that are trying to decipher what did they say? What are they telling us? These long strings.
Interesting,
information. You know, it's got to be information of some kind. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, the whole bird thing, that was because I was just boning up on some of my stuff. I was looking at Glastonbury Tor in England. That's a very famous energy point. You know, that they say it's the Isle of Avalon and all that sort of stuff. And, and if you look like from space and you see how the sort of feel everything is arranged around it, it actually looks like a bird with the Glastonbury Tor, the center, like sort of the body and the head, and then there's these wings and things. So that's interesting that, you have that other bird.
Right. Well, I mean, okay, here's another very interesting thing that I hold in this phenomenon, which is that every aspect of it, you know, much like how I was talking about the I Ching, that every aspect or every way that you can approach this phenomenon is valid. And each individual, however that they are approaching it, is valid. That the universe is large enough to hold every single one of our points of view.
Yeah.
And that they all are our own personal path and is valid.
Right.
So, you know, there's no one meaning to any one of them. You know, you can't say, you can't point to that's what they were trying to do, you know, and then everything else isn't right.
You know?
It's like, I find that they're so complex, and I mean, so multivalent that,
just see a small bit of it.
Right. We just see, you know, we have our own slice of pie. So,
right.
You know, so like the word swallows, you know, we can take it as, oh my goodness, this is something I'm supposed to swallow,
right.
You know, or, or, you know, the image of the swallows and the icon of the swallows, or, you know, something that's taken flight, or something the swallows have something to do with the ecology, I'm sure. Or there, I know that there is ancient iconography that is around swallows.
Right.
I did some research on that, but I can't seem to remember it at the moment. So, but it's there. You can Google swallows. And find it. Our dear beloved Google. So you can approach anything, you know, all of these from any direction, and probably find something valid. I mean, even a few years ago, my birthday is in the summer. I was born in late July, and I had a party. And that particular year, I turned 50. I had a big party to celebrate my 50th birthday. And I had put out a, you know, my friends know me as a Crop Circle fan.
Okay.
And I had put out a poem that kind of talked a little bit about crop circles and turning 50, and this particular fivefold crop circle that had been the first one that I ever was in, and as my part of my invitation to invite people. And on my birthday, and I had written this poem about 5 times 10, and on my birthday, the crop circle that came down was like stars within fivefold stars within fivefold stars, and it was like they'd done it for me, you know. It was like, and there's nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with my allowing myself to see, look, they did this for me, you know, for my own personal thing. And of course, you know, of course, I mean, it's silly and absurd, but it's also real.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just so, you know, if you not to just to allow yourself to be open.
Right.
To any level of information, I think it's part of. It's part of the evolutionary path right now. It's just what's being called upon. So
yeah, letting it through, let it, you know, percolate through and mix with everything else. Yeah.
In our group, you know, the reason why you
got
me here.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Is
I should in fact advertise your group, please.
I have a group. The Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group, and if you want to find the website, you know, it's meetup.com. Meetup, wow, what a great resource this is. If you don't know anything about Meetup, it's something where you can find people that are interested in any subject matter that you might want to meet up around, and you put in your subject matter, like crop circles,
right?
And you can find out if there are people that are meeting on that subject. Well, yes, there are people meeting on crop circles. So it's meetup.com/bay-area-crop-circle-study-group. Anyway, I wanted to make it findable. So it's Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group with dashes in between everything. So if you want to find us, that's how it is. But in our group, there's a wonderful mix of people that have been coming. And it's still very new, so we're still growing. I have about 35 members right now. And everyone is invited to bring their perspective, and it just enriches everyone else.
Yeah.
So,
especially being in that group, everyone is accepting by being there to begin with.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed, it's wonderful. The subject matter is just it's so playful and it's inspiring, and, you know, you almost can't look at these and not have your heart open, you know? It's amazing. It's
what lovely. Type of experience have some of the people had?
In my group?
Yeah.
In the group? Well, I guess you'd have to talk to them.
But just, yeah, general, you know, don't have to name names.
Well, we've been looking at the geometry. The very first time we met, it was only for a couple hours, and I did a presentation of all the crop circles from this particular season, this year, that had happened up until then. And there were like 55 slides, and we only had about a minute or two on each one. It was it was a bit of a whirlwind, but it was a great way to kind of people to who hadn't seen what had gone on this year, which was oh my God, just absolutely just thinking about it, I'm like getting chills up and down my spine, you know, all through my body. But if you haven't seen them, go on to CropCircleConnector.com. They're just amazing.
I'm going to write that down. I haven't
seen CropCircleConnector. They are a great resource. You can see the ones from the current season for free. Mm. And if you want to support them, give them a little money, they'll open up the archive that they have all the way back to 1990.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And you can study to your heart's content. So,
yeah, see how they've changed.
Right, yeah. And see research. And I mean, it's an incredible resource. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
So, what was I saying? Oh, yes, the people in my group that the second meeting that we did, I showed slides of the ones that had happened since the last meeting, which was a much smaller group. And then we selected one to do a meditation on. And it was an interesting way to come about selecting this one. And the one that we selected was one that I wouldn't have necessarily thought would be the one that we would select. It was very enigmatic, a bit unscrupulous, or what's the word? Inscrutable. That's the word I was looking for. And, you know, we kind of put it up and we had 5 minutes of silent gazing. And then we just, everyone had a chance. And, you know, I made sure that there was time for everyone to have a chance to speak. What is it that this is doing for you? And, you know, there was everything from, I can feel that there's an intention here of taking us into another dimension, and it's implying that we're being held, that our solar system's being held by this company of great intelligent beings, you know, so on and so on and so on, to, gee, it looks like a clown face to me, you know? And all of that together, it was just wonderful. All of that together just really kind of opened up how it's, you know, even with the clown face comment, I felt like, yes, there is humor and warmth, and there's something about that that's right, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
as you said, everybody has a different take on it, but it's all right.
It's all right, and it all fits, and it's all valid. And it's great to listen to each other.
Yeah, because I suppose one thing can spark somebody's, you know, they haven't thought of it that way, and suddenly it becomes, oh, yeah.
Right, yeah. There was definitely, you know, people were stimulated by each other's shares. So it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Well, beautiful. You're listening to Marianne Grace, and we're talking about crop circles here on and other phenomena here on Cows Radio 107.3 in pagan-friendly downtown Occidental.
Thank goodness. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, no lynch mobs out there yet. No pitchforks and flames out the window taking us away. Thank goodness.
Cancel.
So you can give us a call in the studio, 874-1073. If you've got a question for Marianne, or to let us know if you've had a strange experience in any way or unusual. And 874-1073. Mm-hmm. And it's Cows Radio, www.kows.fm on the computer. And 107.3 on frequency modulating dial. So let's see. Should I just play another bit of music and then we'll come right back?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's do Cosmic Thing by the B-52s.
Oh, cool.
Bang. Like someone gave you a wild loose or a freight train with a loose cover.
Yeah, Cosmic Thing by the B-52s, and seemed an appropriate segue here on Cal's Radio with Marianne Grace, and we're talking about crop circles and also other phenomena, and we also thought we'd talk a little about UFOs.
UFOs.
Yeah, to...
Yeah, that's a very embedded subject matter. I just saw this year there were some photographs. You know, oh my God! It just seems like the phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon, is just taken off, so to speak.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's so much more going on. If you're interested in that kind of thing, you can find a lot of it right now. It's big. So, and of course, you know, it's embedded in this crop circle phenomenon. And there is this series of photographs on, let's see, how would you find it? It's a Dutch, crop circle website. There is a fellow by the name of Robert Vanderbroek, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's Dutch. Who is this very interesting psychic fellow. And
should we grab a phone call? Just hold that thought a second, and
sure.
Let's just have a quick phone call.
Sure.
Hello, Cal's Radio. Good. We'd like to have a chat with Marianne. I have a question. I'll put you right on the air, and you can ask her. Okay, hold on one second. Go right ahead.
Hi, I love the show.
Oh, good. Who am I talking to?
My name's Candy.
Hi, Candy.
I actually passed you as I was leaving the show today.
Oh, yeah.
I was on Laura's show.
Yeah.
Got a good feeling from you, but I had no idea what your show was going to be like, and it's fabulous.
Oh, good.
I wanted to share that on my birthday, the dragonfly crop circle happened.
Oh,
that was fabulous this year.
Yes, there you go.
And I'd love to know if you have a website or for your group. Or
yes, definitely. The website is meetup.com/ Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group, except that in between every single one of those words, Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group, put a dash, and then you'll find me, bay-area-blah-blah-blah.
So, that's a long one.
I know, it is, but it's to the point.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay.
Love to see you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Candy.
Yeah.
All right.
Good, some interest.
Yes, indeed. So you can call her 874-1073, error code 707.
Yeah, this year she talked about the dragonfly. Oh,
yeah, what is
beautiful.
That about?
Oh, my God. This year there were a plethora of very distinct, unmistakable designs that were clearly some kind of animal.
Oh.
Very, very clearly, like a dragonfly. There was no doubt of its intention, at least on that level, that this is a design of a dragonfly. There was there was a phoenix, gorgeous. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. With and all embedded also within geometries that were precise and
Also, there was more around the actual figure.
Yes,
of
even you know the dragonfly. There was a circle that was kind of a lens almost, or behind the dragonfly center. There, if you are interested in the geometries, you can track like the way that the geometry is of the dragonfly, and note, for instance, that there are specific proportions that are going on, or that the proportions are the same as the proportions of the Great Pyramid of Cheops, or things like that. There's like
those ratios.
Yes,
yeah.
There's incredible. I mean, it's not just some design. It's there. They are really precisely. I don't know how they come up with these things.
Yeah.
It's like they're just, and there's just so much information in them if you want to go start studying them in that way.
Right.
So, Yeah, so there was the phoenix, there was the dragonfly, there was a jellyfish, a very obviously a jellyfish. It was actually the first, I think that was the first animal that came up this year. There was another swallows. There were two different designs that had the swallows in them. Several. I can't remember them all. Some of them were underwater creatures. Some of them were sky creatures. And then there was the human butterfly, which, you know, that was
the human butterfly.
Well, it's a butterfly, you know, very clearly a butterfly, but the body of the butterfly is the inaccurately named moniker of the Vesuvian Man by Da Vinci. It's the Da Vinci Man, you know, the one between that's standing in the circle and the square, and it's got the proportions, and you see all of that going on. So it's not an exact representation of the Da Vinci Man, but it's very close.
Yeah,
and
he was only guessing himself.
He's the body of the butterfly, and so you know that's clearly. That's clearly about transformation and about some kind of evolutionary next step. And what's interesting about I'll give a radio plug for our dear friend Swami Beyondananda, Steve Behrman, and his cohort. Am I really not remembering this? They just wrote a book together, and the book is called Spontaneous Evolution. And on the cover is the image of the inaccurately named Vesuvian Man on top of a butterfly. And that the publication date was the same day as the appearance of this particular crop circle. So, you know, here we go.
More than a coincidence.
Yes! You know, even if it is made by men, which it was claimed, this particular glyph was claimed by a company that makes them, that does definitely make them. But, you know, the timing and that there would be this kind of, you know, quote-unquote coincidence, you know, this synchronicity going on. It's fantastic.
The energy being produced somehow reciprocates with those.
Exactly. So it was really a spectacular year for the design. So go on cropcircleconnector.com.
So they really did make a jump this year then.
Very clearly. I mean, they really do. They really do every year. It gets more and more. They're not going to do it. They wouldn't do this, you know. And then the next year they do that. Just amazing. So we'll see what happens next. So we'll see what happens next year.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we were talking about UFOs. It's just beginning to get into them. You were going to tell us your theories or your
right. Well, interest. You know, I there have been so many accounts, that it just. I mean, even outside of the crop circle phenomenon. I don't really think it's deniable anymore that, that there's something else going on. There are other intelligences that are here, present with us. And some people say that if they're using, you know, why would they communicate with us with this very obtuse, you know, phenomenon of crop circles, and why on earth would they do that? Why don't they land on the White House lawn? You know, that's the one that you always hear. It's like, so, you know, I mean, and you have to really think about that. I mean, I'm now going to tell you things I've heard, which is some great comments about that, which is that, you know, if you were being shot at. If you were visiting a culture that was as violent and mixed up as we are, that and when we are presented with something that is unknown, that our first reaction is denial, fear, violence, you know, kill the damn thing.
The day the earth stood still stuff.
Right. That, you know, would you be, you know, knocking on the front door? It's like, I don't think so. So, you know, instead, they're doing this very evident manifestation
mm-hmm.
that's undeniable and that's slowly evolving and slowly revealing itself. And that we're having to come to terms with as benign, as beautiful, as you know, as mysterious, as something that's just my goodness.
But does that you were talking about earlier, maybe off air, about it was not just space but time, you know, the whole evolutionary spread of that.
Right, right. So, I mean, why now is the question. And why this incredible evolution of, I mean, they've really gotten extremely complex and sophisticated, and it does seem that, you know, they are teaching us things. Like, just early on, for instance, there were Euclidean theories that were being demonstrated in the circles, in the designs. And there were the people that started actually looking at this in more detail and that had that kind of mathematical bent saw that there were Euclidean theories that Euclid didn't even come up with that were being expressed in these designs. A new Euclidean theory that we did not know of yet was expressed in these designs.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, the kind of information or expansion of what we know is it's possible that, you know, we're being taught something and that it's right. slowly unfolding in our consciousness. And so that's a wonderful idea. And it certainly seems like we need it.
Yeah, we need some intervention.
yeah, that we need something that where we can, that we feel that we have a relationship to something that's so much larger and vaster than our, you know, our tiny,
puny
reference, you know. It's like just as pitiful reference of how we usually go about our lives. And in fact, you know, that is accelerating. I bet you can talk to almost anybody these days and find that there's, if they're open to this type of thing, that they're having more and more unusual experiences that they, who knew that, you know, that something like that would happen to them. Or
right. It's being aware. I always remember, in fact, Dan is here, a story he told me about, I think it was about Darwin, when he came ashore somewhere and the natives couldn't see the big boat because it was so beyond their
frame of reference
that it just wasn't there for them.
Right.
So
it's only the children that said, "What's that, Daddy? Oh, wampum, Daddy," or whatever they say. I don't know. How?
Yeah.
Literally, how?
Yeah.
It's like,
how'd they do that?
How'd they do that?